The color of most of the flowers was perfect, but every one of them was dead. Behrman could see that no one had been in the shop for weeks. Long flowers were hung Crazy Jane over plastic vases and pots, or they'd just lain down and died in their little wooden window boxes. Shorter flowers were fallen in heaps as if they'd been mowed. The more fragrant flowers, stocks, some roses, gave off a heavy odor, and there was foul water in the room, but most of the dead flowers bore no smell. Berryman slowly walked up the aisle, breaking flower heads off and smelling them. A hanging light bulb was on, shining over the counter. Bells on the front door were still jingling back and forth, back and forth. "Hey, Ben," he called out. "Ben, boy. God damn it, Ben." The answer was carut, carut, his boots on the wooden planks. There was no one in the small back room of the shop either. Water was dripping on more dead flowers in a stainless steel sink. Dead flowers were in a garbage pail. Dead flowers were wrapped in gift paper and ribbons and signed with various billets doux. Behrman sat down and composed his own note. He wrote, "Ben, you're getting crazier than a shithouse rat. Call me on the island or I'll have to kick your ass." He scotch-taped the note on the inside glass of the front door. It looked like a closed because of a death in the family notice. For a very few moments outside, Behrman had a nervous tick in one eye. His mind was flooded with memories that portended, if one believed in one way or another, big trouble for two reverse-ass-kissers who had gone against near everything and everybody, who had stoned girls and fucked Texas boys and cows. Hampton Bays, June 23. It rained for several days straight near the end of June. It got muddy all around Berryman's home, with the sea smelling extra salty and all the cloth furniture cool and damp to the touch. Berryman took the occasion to relax. He needed to relax totally before starting for Tennessee. Now and then he caught a fish in the ocean, ate it, or threw it back. He thought that the ocean was profoundly intelligent, but that bluefish were not. Kept expecting Ben Toy to pop up, dirty and long-whiskered like some male dog on the bum. One morning, he sat sipping a mug of Uban and munching honey cakes on the back beach porch. It was 9 a.m., but dark, and the house lights were on. He rocked on the love seat, cool on the back of his legs and against his arms, and he read Jimmy Horn's fat autobiography. It was called Jiminy. He read every word and enjoyed each sentence, each little vignette, immensely. Finishing one page, he would think about what had been described so adroitly, feel bad that it was over, then only slowly move on and start another page. Over his head, the rain sounded as if it was falling on soggy paper. The sky was steamy and cardboard-colored. All vertical noise was the ocean, which seemed especially wet because of the rain and wind. It was his last pleasant memory of the sea captain's house. While he sat rocking, reading, humming, Una came out in a boy's yellow slicker and matching hat. "What object that is now sitting in the village of Hampton Bays would make your day a little brighter?" Berryman could think of nothing but the newspaper. Una told him that she was going to get wine, beef, corn on the cob. Did he like corn on the cob? Yes, about half a dozen at a sitting. Mushrooms, clams. Did he like little neck clams? Yes, about a dozen at a sitting. She waded off through the mud in high open-heeled sandals, chose the best mudder, the Cadillac, waved in the arc cleared by swish-swash windshield wipers, rolled away into the stew. Behrman drifted back into his book. It was going to be a terrific day, he thought. He was extremely comfortable, content, and Una was getting to be a genuine delight to be with. He read, peacefully inhaled and exhaled the slightly mildewed air, until he was distracted by a sudden loud whacking in the house. It was a cracking whack, then a pause, then a whack, a pause. Behrman slowly walked back through the long hall. The noise got louder. He went through the living room, stopped, switched off a lamp. He took a revolver from the desk, put it down as a gesture connected with incipient craziness, picked it up again, and slipped it under his T-shirt. He went on to the still breakfast-warm kitchen. More honey buns were sitting out. More coffee. The screen door suddenly swung all the way to the outside wall, hit it, then swung back with a cracking whack. As Behrman went to latch the door against the wind, he found a note. The door's hook had been pierced through it. "Tom Tom, garden spot of the world. You're crazier. Can't go killing. Killing Jimmy Horn. Big Ben." Una came home singing Carly Simon hits, Anticipation and Mockingbird. She was carrying too much groceries for two people, too many newspapers for five Behrmans. She found a rained-on copy of Jiminy left out on the porch. She called inside, and there was no answer. Without looking further, she sensed that Behrman was gone on business again. This time she thought she knew what the business was.